Welcome to the Self-Talk Radio Show.
Mind-changing radio. One in two children today, right now, has chronic illness. Right? One in two. Right? Mm-hmm. There's a problem that's happening. And if we don't change the way we're doing things, then we are on our way to becoming a statistic.
Welcome to Self-Talk Radio Show. I'm Sarah Spencer. My guest is Dr. Heather Rice. She's the founder of Wellspring Chiropractic Lifestyle and has a lot to talk about, especially it's more than just back pain. There's a whole lot more to looking at your health with Wellspring Chiropractic Lifestyle. Dr. Heather Rice, my guest, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, nice to have you. So how did you get started in chiropractic?
Oh my goodness, it's a fantastic story.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
Yeah, so there I was 13 years old, and my dad was changing careers, and he was going off to become a chiropractor. And he had been an earth science teacher and kind of got to the top of his field, and his best friend said, hey, did you ever think of becoming a chiropractor? And he said, I'll check that out. And he decided to do that, and he went off to chiropractic school. And when he came back on his first vacation, he came back to a sick little girl. I was 13, and I had strep throat.
Oh, wow. I had strep throat. That was tough.
Yeah, right? So I remember clearly, like, it was so hard to swallow anything. I could hardly swallow even a few drops of water.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom had taken me to the pediatrician and had recommended the pediatrician had recommended the penicillin. I remember how big those pills were. Like, I can't swallow anything. Never mind that. So I wasn't taking the penicillin. And my dad came home and he said, oh, we should check your spine. And so he gave me
For a sore throat?
That's right. So I said, well, you're my dad. Okay. And he adjusts me. And I'll never forget it. My first chiropractic adjustment. Like, wow, what was that? And then a few hours later, I noticed that I could swallow more easily and the pain was going down and that I was getting better really fast. And so I asked my dad, like, how does this work? And he said, we just had to turn the power back on so your body could heal itself.
Interesting.
And I said, well, that's cool. That's really cool.
So what do you mean by turn the power back on?
Right. So it turns out that in his schooling, he was learning that the nervous system is what controls the immune system. And so if there's any disturbance in the flow of messages that travel from the brain down the spinal cord and out to all the cells, including your throat and your tonsils and your lymph glands and all of that, then if there's a disturbance, then they won't work as well. And so he cleared that disturbance so that the power could be turned back on again.
Interesting.
And my body just knew what to do.
So there's certain, I remember, because I was a patient of yours many years ago.
Yeah.
And I loved it because I went, I think originally I had sciatica.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really painful. It's a pain in your hip. And what do you know, like a cause of that? Because there's certain things that, is there a reason to have sciatica? Is there a reason to have strep throat? Or is it just one of those things?
Well, first thing to recognize is that your body is smart. And so your body's always going to be giving you signals. And we want to pay attention to those signals because how smart our bodies are. So a conventional approach might be, oh, don't you just want to have that pain go away? And then, of course, a painkiller might do that, or a muscle relaxant might do that. But if the body is giving you a signal, what we want to do is find out what's the cause of that. Let's understand what's going on there so that we can get your body functioning better, and then your body will turn that signal off when it needs to.
Interesting.
You know, so if you're driving your car and the signal comes on and it's a warning light, you could cover that up, and now that warning light's gone. That was kind of a bother, that warning light. And thank goodness it's not bothering me when I'm driving, right?
That's kind of what I end up doing is, you know, I just stick duct tape on the, you know, gas tank empty. I got a few miles
good
left.
Good short-term strategy. Not a good long-term.
Get me through.
Yeah.
So basically, you're really listening to the body's signals. And one of the things that was an aha moment for me was I went to a different chiropractor. And I would say, oh, I'm fine. And then he did muscle testing on me and my body was saying a completely different story.
Mm.
Have you experienced anything like that where a patient will say, oh, that's not really a problem for me? And then you discover, oh, actually, yes, that is a problem. Can you talk a little more about that, the discovery for patients?
Yeah. So first thing to recognize is that in our nervous system, it has three aspects to it. One part is to feel pain. So when we're feeling pain, that's the nervous system at work. But it turns out that's only 10% of the nervous system's job is to feel pain. The other 90% of the nervous system's job is to run the organs and the muscles, but that's not the part you'd feel. So if we're not looking at that other 90% of the nervous system and evaluating it, then we're not going to get the complete picture of what's really going on. And that pain can be quite fickle. It can come and go, but the problem might actually still be there. So if we're really going to get to the cause of the problem, we have to have a clear picture of the whole nervous system.
And so, how do you do that?
Well, in our office, we use technology actually that is used by the astronauts to measure their health. And it looks at exactly the nerve supply to the muscles and is there any disturbance there. Nerve supply to the organs, is there any disturbance there. We also look at how well is the brain tracking where the body is in space. So looking at posture can be a very good clue if there's going to be any kind of disturbance in the nervous system.
And now I'm standing up straight.
Excellent.
Now, can you go look at somebody, like if they're walking on the street or whatever, can you actually look at them and say, oh, you know, I bet they've got problems with sciatica.
I do that all day long. I go crazy at airports, right?
Yeah. What do you see?
Here's the thing I see the most of that is the most actually disturbing to me, which is posturally, we have people going into these digital device postures. So their head is down, their spine is bent over. They're actually in a posture of what we call survival posture, like duck and cover. Like if you're being attacked, duck and cover. And it literally can trigger the brain to go into a stress response so that people are actually programming their system to be in a stress response all day long because they're on their devices.
Oh, my gosh. Do you think that might have something to do with people posting really negative things? I mean, honestly,
Possibly. Because
if your body's already hunched over, you're already in, you know, fight or flight.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So wouldn't it make sense if you're posting angry tweets at two in the morning?
You know what? It's not just that, though. Mm. You know, in the top of our neck is where our brainstem lives. And our brainstem is in charge of controlling all of our internal organs. That's where the control center is located. So when you flex your head forward and you've got it bent over all the time, you're putting stress on your brainstem, which then triggers your brain to go into stress mode. So you may be actually not only running the organs in stress mode, which is only supposed to be for when we really encounter a tiger, not default. We're not supposed to default to stress mode. We're supposed to reserve that for very specific periods of time. So there's that piece. And then the second piece is that it colors our perspective of the world. So we are in defense mode. And a classic image of that was a Peanuts cartoon that showed Charlie Brown with his head down and he's talking to Lucy, the psychotherapist, right?
Yes, yes.
And so he says to Lucy, you know, when I'm in this state of when I'm depressed and feeling sad, the best thing is for me to have my posture, you know, with my head bent forward like this. Because if my head is upright, I can't fully enjoy being depressed. Right? So there's something to that.
Our posture
has an impact on our perspective of the world. And it's literally because of the impact it has on our nervous system.
So we're speaking with Dr. Heather Rice. She's the founder of Wellspring Chiropractic Lifestyle. And learning that going to visit a chiropractor is more than, gee, I have a sore back, I better go see my chiropractor. What if you have an emotional, what if you're facing depression or you're facing anxiety? Visiting a chiropractor, does that make sense?
I think there are different styles of chiropractors that are out there. So there are some colleagues I have that just love to work with musculoskeletal aspects and musculoskeletal, like aches and pains in the joints and the back pain, that sort of thing.
Yes.
And and I have colleagues that are so good at that and they love doing that. I love that I have that there's that variety in our profession. For myself, I love to work in more of a wellness model, which means I'm going to look at all aspects of somebody's life. And one of the things I specialize in is stress. Like if people are being burdened by stress, I actually can look in their physiology and see what's happening in their nervous system that may actually be pushing them in that direction. And when we start to clear that stress in the nervous system, then what we start to see is that people are adapting to their life in better ways, that they're not as bothered by things, that they're coming up with more clearer solutions to things, and we can actually measure their physiology to see, are they still in a stress response or are they moving away from that?
Interesting. So, and you can measure the stress?
We can. We use a technology called heart rate variability, and it literally tells us whether they are defaulting to a stress response and whether they're not adapting effectively to the stresses that they're under.
Interesting.
And then we coach them on what do we need to do to get a clear nervous system, or what are the best practices on how to eat, how to think, and how to move. And if we can help people coaching them in the right lifestyle decisions, then they're going to stop recreating the patterns, and then we can just cover ground a lot faster that
way.
How
to eat, how to think, how to move. I love that. So how do we eat? What do we eat? Because these days you never know what you're eating, right?
Right. So I always like to go back to the what our body's designed for. So we know it's designed to be healthy. Every cell in your body has intelligence in it, and it's all being coordinated by the nervous system. And we know that even down to the genetic level, our bodies were designed that way. But it was also designed for an environment that happened 40,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So our genes, our cells are demanding that we supply the nutrients that we had 40,000 years ago when we were eating, you know, in that lifestyle. We were moving all the time in that lifestyle, right? If we weren't moving, we were being eaten, or we weren't eating ourselves. We
right.
had to move to eat.
Right.
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 So our cells actually demand movement as a nutrient. And when you think of the stresses that we had, you know, 40,000 years ago, we would have had interactions with threatening foes, and we would have had starvation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those would have been the key stresses we would have. So look at the brilliant design of the body, that the only chronic stress that it was actually designed for was starvation. And what is the solution for starvation? It's store fat.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're under chronic stress, where do our cells go with that? Better start storing fat.
Yep.
You see, it's a brilliant design, but the environment we're in today is so dramatically different and unhealthy and unnatural compared to what our cells were designed for and our genes were designed for. And so that's where the problem is. It's life that is creating these stresses. So that's why we teach people the best practices on how to eat, how to think, and how to move. And it's all based on, at the core level, genetically, what are the cells demanding?
So what is a rule of thumb that you could do as far as someone who might be facing, they eat out of stress? They get a half gallon of ice cream. It's been a bad week. I do this.
Yeah.
What do you coach them?
So first things first, I'd always want to look at what's happening in their nervous system that is a pattern that they just keep short-circuiting and going to.
Ooh.
So I'd want to clear whatever pattern was associated with the stresses that then triggered the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, we'd want to start looking at what's the easiest steps forward to change the behavior. So sometimes for some people, I'm going to give them a Chinese herb that actually cuts the sweet cravings.
Mm.
And that might be the fastest thing for them, just to get them on the right road. For other people, I'm going to teach them a technique where they can turn off the stress switch in their brain. I love EFT, emotional freedom technique.
Yes.
So I might have them like just start tapping on the stress and tapping on the craving of it.
Yeah.
And
it's funny you bring up EFT because I learned it in your practice.
Yeah.
Okay. And I poo-pooed it. I laughed at it. I said, this is ridiculous. She's gotten this entire classroom of people tapping on their foreheads saying, even though my leg's falling off, I still love and accept myself, right? Okay.
Yes, yeah.
So I thought it was silly. And so then I had an accident with my horse. My horse slipped in the mud and he fell on my leg. And he's not Lassie. He took off. And so my friend went after my horse. And I was sitting there with my leg just killing me. And I started tapping. Yeah.
And it just affects a specific part of the brain. But I think something really important that you said was that your friend was making fun of you about it.
Oh, yeah.
And here's something that I actually coach people on, that they have to be ready to be socially inappropriate if you're going to be healthy in our culture.
Yes.
And if you're only going to be, if you only are going to be pushed into what's socially acceptable, that means the commercials on TV are telling you how to be healthy. Yeah, how good is that going to work for you?
Yeah, how's right? it working for you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we have to actually be willing to go outside of what the cultural accepted practices are if we really want to be healthy. And the way that I know that is if you look at what's happening right now in our culture, you know, you look at all the major chronic illnesses, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, obesity, are those numbers going up or down?
Well, they're going up.
They're going up. They're skyrocketing.
Yes.
If we look at our kids, one in two children today, right now, has chronic illness, right? One in two, right? There's a problem that's happening. And if we don't change the way we're doing things, then we are on our way to becoming a statistic. So the conventional model doesn't work. You cannot live by the food pyramid, or you're going to look like a pyramid.
If a family, one has lactose intolerance, one has a gluten problem, one has a sugar problem, how do you feed that whole family unit and make it so that a family comes together and breaks bread together, or doesn't break bread together if you're gluten problems?
Yeah.
How do you do it anymore?
Yeah, it is a struggle. And I would say that I would have to look at each individual person and that family to give the best advice for that individual in a way that it's really going to work for them.
Yeah.
But if we were going to answer that question from a higher level view, then I would say we still have to go back to, we have to reverse engineer back towards the cellular demands, that what our genes were designed for. And if we look at the history of our food over time, what we find is that back about in the 1800s, we started to change the way our ancestors would have always eaten. We started to change it in the 1800s. And we started to add things like our farming practices. And then, you know, next thing you know, pesticides are coming in and industrial foods are coming in. Never mind, you know, the grains that are coming in and then the altered grains that are coming in and the high fructose corn syrup and then the GMOs. So what I recommend people do is try just backtracking. Go back in time, like at least get rid of the GMOs. If that doesn't work, then get rid of the high fructose corn syrup. If that doesn't work, get rid of the pesticides, eat more organic. And it just go back in time until you hit the level of health that you want. And for some people, they need to go back to the paleo model where they just are not eating any grains at all. For other people, they can look at ancient diet styles where we find that there are cultures all over the planet that when they eat in their traditional ancient way, which might include some dairy, it might include some grains, but if they do it in the traditional way, they had no chronic disease at all.
Interesting.
Yeah, so they might have soaked their grains or sprouted their grains. Or Weston A. Price Foundation did a great job at really uncovering that information. But as soon as Western food came into those tribes that were eating their traditional cultures, within one generation, we saw chronic illness showing up.
Wow.
So if anybody's not happy with the health that they have, whether they think it's from nutrition or they're not exercising enough or they get too much stress, we always have to just start looking at what is getting in the way. That's the question to ask. Because a lot of times when people are not happy with their health, they immediately go to what is the thing that is the problem here? Meaning, can I name this this germ that I have? Is it a bad germ? Is it a bad gene? Or, you know, is it just bad luck that I'm having? And what we always find, if we really uncover it, is it's bad behavior. It's lifestyle practices. So we have to uncover what those things are. And if we start to understand that if we're having concerns with our health, it's not because it's a thing, it's because of our behaviors, then we can start to look at what are the solutions then for this. And I love to use the analogy of darkness and light. So if we think of darkness as a thing, then we would be able to pick up that thing and put it in a box and get it out of the way and it's done. But if it's not a thing, if darkness actually is the absence of light, then if we don't like the darkness that we have, we just need to add light. Mm-hmm. And if we think of sickness and health in that way, that sickness is not actually a thing, it's the absence of a thing.
Oh,
it's the absence of health.
The absence of a thing.
Right? So if you don't like the sickness that you're having, you may not need to keep trying to destroy that thing we're calling that sickness. You might need to just start adding health. And then you're going to look in a different direction for what are the tools, who are the people I would want to see that are going to add health rather than the conventional model, which is trying to still destroy a certain thing.
Destroy something. Interesting. Yeah. And I had a friend who gave me some wisdom about changing my diet. She said, check how you feel after you eat something. She said, just notice how you feel. And that was the best advice I think anyone ever gave me about what I put in my mouth. You know, how do you feel 30 minutes after? How do you feel 10 minutes after? You know, and really being mindful of that. And I've recognized I cannot have coffee whatsoever. Uh-huh. It just takes my whole electrical system and just throws it up in the air. It's unbelievable. We're speaking with Dr. Heather Rice. She's the founder of Wellspring Chiropractic Lifestyle. And when we come back, we're going to talk about vaccines and what you can do as a parent and maybe some advice in vaccinating your children or not vaccinating. We'll talk about that very controversial topic next on Self Talk Radio Show.
Can't sleep? Try this. Sleep Meditation offers soothing meditations to help you sleep like a baby and awaken what's inside. All you have to do is choose the meditation you want to listen to from our library at sleepmeditation.org, click play, and enjoy. If you want to keep the recording, purchase the downloads you want. Plus, Sleep Meditation offers specials on motivational pieces that help you start positive change, stop bad habits, or sleep like a baby. sleepmeditation.org.
Welcome back. My guest is Dr. Heather Rice, the founder of Wellspring Chiropractic Lifestyle, talking about chiropractic, how it can help you with a myriad of things, everything from pain management to, my goodness, strep throat we've talked about, and can even do ear infections with chiropractic.
Chiropractors get great results with that, but it's not because we're treating an ear infection. It's because we're getting to what's the cause of the immune system going in that direction. How do we clear the nerve interference so that the body can work better.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking, too, about vaccinations. You're involved in a documentary that's going on. Tell me more about that.
It's a documentary called The Truth About Vaccines, and they go into the whole range of this very controversial topic. And I was just asked to be one of the people being interviewed and to add my insights to it.
How did they find you?
Because I had created a free report that people could download that was called The Truth About Vaccines.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah,
wow.
A long time ago. And so they kind of came across it and they asked me to be part of their program.
So what's your take on vaccines?
Well, again, I'm going to revert right back to what I originally was talking about what our genes and our cells were designed for. And the fact that we have a very strong immune system, and if we just remove interferences to that, then our bodies are designed to work that way. The concerns that a lot of parents have and doctors have are that we have an increasing vaccine schedule, and we have some questions about the safety and the efficacy. I know. Everybody keeps saying, no, vaccines are safe and effective. But if we really look at the research that is coming out and has been coming out for a long time, we can see that it's not necessarily safe, not necessarily effective.
Well, what about the polio vaccine? I mean, that's been out for a long time, and that's prevented polio. We haven't had any epidemic from that, correct?
Well, a lot of people think that, but if you, again, just look at the actual details of the research and what was happening in our culture at the time, what we see is that polio as a disease that was impacting people negatively, that it actually was going down and down and down. Deaths from polio were going down significantly before the vaccine was ever introduced. What's also interesting is right at that period of time is when a lot of DDT was being used, and DDT turns out to be a neurotoxin. And sometimes parents actually thought that the polio was being transmitted, or that there were factors that might be transmitting it, and they were spraying their kids with DDT. That was actually being done. They stay out of the swimming pools, and they didn't quite understand what was happening.
What was causing
it? Yeah.
What about measles, though?
What about measles? I had measles when I was a kid, and that was a childhood illness. We've been living with measles on the planet our entire experience as human beings, and our bodies actually know what to do with that. And it's actually well known that vitamin A is really important to help you get through measles very easily. And then you have a lifelong immunity from it. You have a natural lifelong immunity. What's happening now, though, is we're seeing measles outbreaks in older children in college age because they never got to have that natural immunity as a child.
And then I can remember my mother putting me with kids who had chickenpox because she wanted me to have the chickenpox so that it would go through, you know, the whole family, so that she only had to deal with it once.
Yeah.
Is there now, is that old wives' tale stuff? Is that passé? Because I haven't.
Well, here's what's interesting about that is, first of all, chickenpox is not a life-threatening concern. It's the It was a vaccine that was created for economic reasons so that parents wouldn't have to be out of work. It was for convenience. That was the only purpose of it. Hmm. What's interesting is that we used to live in very nuclear families and families that were extended where grandparents were spending time with kids, grandkids. And so grandparents being around grandchildren with chickenpox, that actually acted as a booster for them so that they wouldn't get shingles. Mm-hmm. What do we see happening now? There's a big explosion of shingles, and it's actually showing up in younger and younger populations as well. And it's because we don't have that natural exposure anymore. We've lost that opportunity for it. Mm-hmm. And what's very interesting is now the shingles actually can communicate and transmit to children to initiate a chickenpox response. So it turns out that nature still knows what's best, right? That nature still knows that it's important for children to go through these childhood illnesses as a way of exercising their immune system and actually to protect them so that in their adult years they have that strong, robust immune system.
Interesting.
And so the grandparents are now coming back around and be able to provide the immunity that is being lost because of the vaccination protocols.
So is shingles the same thing as chickenpox?
It's the same virus that comes out through the nervous system under stress.
Under stress.
Interesting, too, right?
Yeah.
So oftentimes I'll see that that's an area where there is nerve interference, is the area where the tissue is weakened and where it'll express in the nervous system.
So if someone has shingles, should they come see you?
I actually have a lot of patients that come in, and again, I'm not going to be treating shingles, but my job is as the person on their healthcare team who's in charge of always watching their spine and their nervous system to make sure their communication system that keeps them healthy and healing is always at that highest level. So we're going to clear the nervous system, clear the stress out of their body. I also happen to be well-versed in nutritional approaches, so I'll add that in as needed to bridge things. So there are some very specific nutritional protocols that can really change.
To help shingles?
Oh, yeah.
What are they? I'm curious.
Well, it's complex, and I would be testing that person to see what's appropriate for mm-hmm. them. Yeah.
Now, how do you test somebody for what would work for them for food? I'm just curious.
Yeah. So we use neurological testing for that, where we will see what area of their body needs more support, and then we see where is their stress in their nervous system, and then we use those We use the nutrients themselves and see what brings more ease into their system.
Oh, wow.
And so we can test in the moment. So certainly we can get useful information from blood tests and those kinds of things. But again, those are all one moment in time. And so we want to be matching it to what's happening right now in their physiology that's going to benefit them the most.
Right. And so when you're looking at a client or a patient that's coming into you, you really look at the whole person. You're not trying to correct a symptom, you're looking at what's causing that symptom in the first place.
That's how I get my best results with people. And I think that's the part that is missing from the conventional protocols, is people are being looked at as an object, or they're even being looked at as a disease. You are this disease, rather than you are a person that is showing some body signals that should now have us be aware of what do we need to do to get you back to that natural healthy state that you were designed for. Here's something else that's very interesting. Nowadays, there's so much talk about genetics, and people are now like going through their genetic variants and SNPs, and they're already self-diagnosing themselves of what they're going to die from, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And women are cutting their breasts off because they have certain variants, right? And so what we know, the more that we learn, the more we understand that 99.6% of us have the perfect genome to express perfect health over time as long as we have the right environment. And so sometimes it means we have to design a very specific environment for an individual so they can express their perfect health. So nutrition, exercise, sleep, dealing with stress, getting a clear nervous system, those are the best ways that I know of designing that perfect environment so that perfect health can be expressed.
You know, it's interesting. I have a friend who has polyps on his vocal cords, mm-hmm. and so he can't be a radio announcer anymore.
Oh,
it's terrible. Mm-hmm. So are there certain causes behind, because you mentioned stress, you mentioned nutrition, you mentioned all of these things, and the way that you look at an individual, you take all of those into account to see if there's a way of reducing But you know what? Now I'm learning something, because it's not about reducing the polyps. It's about increasing the health, right? Is that your perspective?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's kind of like I'm focusing on what's wrong with them instead of what's right with them.
Yeah.
And we're all doing that.
Yeah.
Interesting. I learned something.
And let's just say this, too, that it doesn't mean there's no need for any other type
no,
of healthcare.
No, I'm not getting that from you at all. No.
Yeah.
No.
But the thing here is that, you know, do we need hospitals and medications and drugs and surgery? Do we need them? Absolutely. Do we need them as much as they're being used? Absolutely not. And that's where people are getting into trouble, where mm-hmm. they might have something that saved their life at one point, but now they're trying to use the same thing to get their health back, and it'll never work to get their health back. That's the key.
Yeah. And you see a lot of commercials about what to do when you're depressed, but what do you do when you're happy? How do you get happy? You know, that's what we're missing, is that element of what makes you happy, what gets you up in the morning, what makes you want to face the world.
Can I share with you what the last thought at night that I have and the first thought in the morning that I have?
Please.
I envision a world where the natural state is extraordinary health. I really do. And so everything that I do, I'm always moving towards that vision. Every person I encounter, I can see that they have that potential for extraordinary health. We just have to remove the toxins and deficiencies. We have to address what's getting in the way of that expressing.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. My guest has been Dr. Heather Rice. She's the founder of Wellspring Chiropractic Lifestyle. How do people find you?
WellspringCLS.com is our website. We're right in Shelburne on Shelburne Road. And we would love to sit down and talk with you if we can help. We have a lot on our website as far as...
A lot of information.
Yeah, we have videos of lots of talks that I do on all different types of body signals. We call it our body signals series. So on the website, we have a YouTube channel as well. So we just want to provide information for people so they can have their best life.
All right. Thank you so much for being on the show. This
was
really wonderful. Dr. Heather Rice, founder of Wellspring Chiropractic Lifestyle. I'm Sarah Spencer for Self Talk Radio Show.
If you'd like to see our guest offerings, find this episode on iTunes, Google Play, and Amazon Alexa. You can join us for the conversation on Facebook and see our guest offerings on selftalkradioshow.com.